ever, like just scrolling through your investments, you know, checking how your portfolio is doing, maybe feeling good about that last dividend payout. And then, bam, news alert. Some kind of conflict just popped off halfway across the world.
Oh, yeah.
And your stomach just drops. You're suddenly doing that mental math like, wait, how is this going to impact, well, everything?
Right.
Well, today's deep dive is all about understanding those ripple effects.
Yeah.
How do wars, you know, those things that seem so far away sometimes actually impact the stock market?
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that feeling of that kind of pit in your stomach feeling. It really all boils down to uncertainty. See, wars, they introduce this massive question mark into the global market because suddenly the future feels very unpredictable. And the market really hates not knowing what's going to happen next.
Oh, for sure. And that's what makes it so nerve-wracking.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it like this. Imagine, you know, you're watching a movie and suddenly, out of nowhere, there's that jump scare moment.
Yeah.
Everyone in the theater gasps. Popcorn goes flying. Well, in this scenario, the jump scare is the breaking news. And it's our portfolios that are going on that roller coaster ride.
That's a great way to put it.
Right.
And speaking of jump scares in the market, a classic example of this is the lead up to the 2003 Iraq War. Right. Markets hate surprises. And this was a big one.
Huge. I mean, back then, we saw a pretty dramatic drop across the board as investors tried to make sense of what was happening. But here's what always gets me. Not all stocks plummet during these times. Right?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because within all that uncertainty, within that sort of chaos, there are actually, you know, opportunities.
Right.
Remember that whole flight to safety idea we talk about? This is where investors, they get spooked and they shift their money to things that seem more stable, more secure, talking government bonds, things like that.
Okay, so why are those considered safe when everything else seems so shaky?
Right. It's a good question. Well, during times of war, governments, they need funding, right? And they're generally considered a pretty reliable borrower, even amidst all the chaos. So their bonds become attractive to investors seeking a safe haven.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's not just about things getting cheaper across the board. It's about understanding where the money flows to when things get dicey.
Exactly. You've hit the nail on the head. And then on the flip side of that flight to safety, you see certain sectors actually benefiting from the conflict, often in ways that feel, well, a bit uneasy, to be honest. Defense contractors are a prime example. It's unfortunate. But war, tragically, means increased demand for weapons, military equipment, all of that.
It's that whole buy shovels during a gold rush kind of thing, but with, you know, much higher stakes. Like, say you held shares of a company, oh, I don't know, like Northrop Grumman back in 2003. You might have actually seen gains while everyone else was hitting the panic button.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that profiting from conflict is a good thing, but it highlights how these global events create winners and losers in the market.
Absolutely. And that actually ties into the difference between those initial knee-jerk market reactions, what we call volatility,
yeah,
and the long-term picture.
Okay, so short-term versus long-term.
Right. In the short term, we see huge swings up and down.
Yeah.
That's just the market reacting to the initial shock, you know, trying to process everything. But how things actually play out over months and years, that often depends on the nature of the war itself. A quick resolution. Markets might rebound quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But a prolonged conflict? Well, that can have much longer lasting and harder to predict implications.
But what's interesting is that even when the headlines seem really bleak, historically speaking, the markets have this remarkable way of bouncing back eventually.
They do, yeah.
And look, this isn't about pretending everything is fine. It's about recognizing that this isn't, you know, the apocalypse.
Yeah, absolutely. That long-term perspective is really crucial. And especially when we start to consider the more, shall we say, nuanced impact of war on different sectors of the market. Remember, we were talking about oil earlier.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. If a conflict erupts in a region that's a major oil producer, you can bet there are going to be some pretty significant price swings. But it goes way beyond just oil, too. Hmm. Think about logistics, for example.
Hmm?
Suddenly, shipping routes are disrupted. The demand for transportation skyrockets. Or cybersecurity. Suddenly, everyone's hyper aware of their digital defenses.
So it's not just about what's immediately, obviously, directly impacted by the conflict. It's about all of those ripple effects, right?
Exactly.
So, like, just as an example, if I'm an investor and I'm listening to this, this helps me connect the dots between, say, a conflict erupting on the other side of the world and, I don't know, my tech stocks that rely on, like, rare earth minerals mined in what is now a very unstable region.
Right. You've got it. And all of this feeds into understanding investor behavior, which by the way, let's be honest, can be driven by emotion just as much as by logic sometimes. Like, remember the source talking about investors flocking to gold and other so-called safe havens?
Oh, yeah, gold. Gold's like the OG safe haven, isn't it?
It really is. It's so interesting because unlike stocks or bonds, gold itself, it doesn't actually generate any income. You're just, you know, holding on to this shiny metal.
Right.
But crucially, it's tangible. It's always held value historically, even when currencies fluctuate. And there's also a powerful psychological element of safety attached to it during times of crisis.
Right. So while our goal here isn't to tell anyone exactly what to do with their money, it's about giving us, the listeners, the knowledge to actually understand the playing field and make more informed decisions. Like, okay, this is what's happening. These are the potential consequences, the potential benefits. Now we have the tools to navigate that.
I think that's a great way to put it. It's about recognizing that even within all the uncertainty and chaos, there are strategic opportunities to be found.
And that brings me to a final thought. And this goes a bit beyond what our sources directly address. We've mainly focused on stocks today, but what about real estate? How might a war, even one thousands of miles away, impact property values here at home? Could it shift investment flows in ways that we don't even anticipate? It's something to think about because in our globalized world, the impact of these events often has a way of reaching further than we realize.
For sure.
It's all connected.
It really is.